Hallelujah. Why don't we thank the worship team for just worshiping him and letting us. Thank you so much for that. And every one of our sessions, you know, we'll start out with worship. So 2 o'clock, we'll start for worship. And we'll have a session in here. God knows what will happen. But just, you know, slip out and go to your appointed times for prophetic ministry. Come and go. It's not going to disturb what God's doing in here. If you've ever seen heaven, if you've ever been there, it's a pretty busy place and very noisy. So, you know, some distraction in here, you know, kind of we maybe get distracted. But there's a lot of movement in heaven and a lot of color, a lot of noise. And so we're okay with that as you come and go into those ministry slot times. If you need toilet facilities, they're out this door to your right. Go down the hall. There is lunch provided for those that want to take advantage of that for purchase. And so avail yourself to that in the cafe. We're going to ask everyone to vacate the cafe at 1:30. 1:30, prophetic teams, make sure you're here. And you're going to set up your own area. And Donna will help you with that. And so we want to thank Donna Gleason for all the help she's done and behind the scenes. And Leah and Hannah and Donna Gaynor, who's, and Bernie Taylor, and just so much work has gone behind the scenes to make everything run as smoothly as we can possibly allow. And I just want to say hi to Chris and Cheryl Hackett, Pastor Chris and Cheryl from Brisbane, good friends of mine, great friends of mine, and Pastor Teresa here from C3 Kiwana. Hey, T. And good to see you. And everyone else, just welcome. Make yourself at home. This is the house of the Lord. It's your house. And you're most welcome. So praise the Lord. God, have your way. Go, God, go. Roll Tide, roll. And please help in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a good prayer. It's a good prayer. I was reminded of a few things. I think God's been trying to get my attention on a few things. And I think he's used multiple things to do that. It's just over a month. It started just over a month ago. My mom went to be home with the Lord. And she died at 4:44 in the morning. And my daughter had made this video to honor her, and unbeknownst, you know, to our calculation, it lasted 4:44. And it didn't really dawn on me today. I was asking the Lord, he hasn't been really, giving me the download until today. And funny how that timing is. I woke up at 4:44 this morning. My wife, she was already up, and she just kind of leaned over and tapped me, and I woke up. I said, "What time is it?" She said, 4:44, and it hit me, Ezekiel 44:4. And so we laid there and chatted for a little while, not wanting to disturb anybody else in the house, and we had this happening today, and the Lord spoke to me very clearly about it. We had this. We live kind of up on towards the range, and every morning I go out there and have my cereal or my gluten-free cereal my wife makes for me, hallelujah, with coconut cream and rice malt syrup, hallelujah, just in case you think I'm not healthy. And so I eat that every morning and sit out on my veranda, and we have a wonderful, view, vista, And this morning, we looked out there, and my wife said, "What is that animal out in the field?" And so I looked, and I couldn't tell what it was, and so I got binoculars and looked, and it was this most amazing kangaroo that I've never seen. I actually tried to look it up. I can't find that look or variety. I believe it was natural, but, you know, God sovereignly gives us signs and symbols, And so he began to speak to me. I was looking at this. My wife saw it. I showed Josh and Lily, my daughter, and this kangaroo was just waiting in this tall grass, just still. And I heard the Lord say, "Wait on me." Australia needs to wait on me. And this kangaroo was black. It was jet black. And it had the most auburn red center chest and, in, you know, and the Lord says, Australia's strength, black. Kangaroo, Australia. Australia's strength will bring power and anointing, the red, as it waits on me. As it waits on me. And so I looked Ezekiel 44, verse 4 up. And Ezekiel is one of my favorite people that God used in Scripture. I refer to Ezekiel a lot. I relate a lot to Ezekiel in my own experiences and happenings. Not that that makes me anybody, but God does what he does. And it says, then he brought me by the way of the north gate to the front of the temple. I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell upon my face. You know, when God shows up, there's a few responses. I think Ezekiel did the only response that was appropriate and that he could do was fall on his face, which is, you know, one of the Hebrew words for worship. And, you know, it's very interesting to me that we're in this season here in Flame Tree where God has Brian Campbell come out of Ohio, an Episcopalian brother that's found Holy Ghost and brought a team, and he just worships and hadn't been here in 4 years, I think, and I missed him the first time I was in Fiji, probably running the villages with Solomon, you know, doing something crazy like sharing Jesus, and missed, you know, Brian, but man, he came, and it was such an amazing anointing. And then we wanted to do a prophetic conference, and this past weekend was our designated time last year for us as prophetic teams, because here in this church, we believe in the prophetic, and if you've read Scripture, the prophetic's going to increase. It's not going to decrease. Some denominations don't even want to adhere to it or have it available, but the prophecy that God wants to release will increase. You read chapter 2 of Joel and Acts, and so it all, you know, all flesh will experience the outpouring of his Spirit, and it talks about prophecy and dreams and visions, and so that's not going to go away. Matter of fact, we need it more than ever before. And so we have this season where then, you know, last year we were going to go away this last weekend, this gone, and the Lord just kind of changed our tune. We're going to go away as prophetic ministry teams, and, you know, we just kind of waited and just seeking the Lord, and then all of a sudden, you know, we just felt we got to do a prophetic conference. Then we got a call from IHOP and YWAM saying, hey, we want to do this harp and bowl. We want to do this worship and seeking his face, you know, prayer thing this weekend, the 19th. And I thought, you know, that's amazing because we've already put in the 24th to 26th to do our prophetic. And then, you know, Josh was available to come and what he carries in worship. And then Solomon, talking to Solomon, all of a sudden he's saying, God just called us to do this month of prayer. We're just kind of taking over this part of the church, and we're going to pray, you know, for a whole month, and the Lord's not letting me travel, and I'm kind of bound to the house for 3 months, and you know, this amazing thing, which exactly happened to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 3, he was bound to the house. God told him to go to the house. He was bound, and it says that he would open his mouth with the words when it was time. And it's like God's calling the church in Australia to wait upon him and stop being worried about what you do and start to be. And out of being, he'll tell you what to do. And so there's this real kind of vacillating between people being distracted. I feel the urgency of the day, so I need to do something. And that's not exactly what you don't need to do. You need to be with him and let him direct you of what really counts, the works I've prepared for you to do. And so I'm going to talk this morning about what maybe the Lord wants to use to kick off, and I'm sure it's going to be repeated a billion times, way better than I can articulate. But it's the word sowed, sowed. And it's a Hebrew word. We're going to look at that in a minute. But God's calling us like never before to wait on him in intimacy. The word of the hour is wait. Not do. Not do more. Not do it better. You know, I picture that kangaroo was so vivid, this black strength. I knew it spoke of strength immediately. The Lord is saying, Australia's strong, and there's a power and anointing that he wants to release that's part of their heart, the heart of God, for the innermost of Australia to move in this power and anointing, speaking of red. But it's waiting. That then this kangaroo waited and waited and waited. Boom. Then it sprang. And it was fast. And it was gone. And the Lord said to me, when you wait and tarry, then in a flash I'll send you. Then you'll move with power. Then you'll go where I want you to go. Then you'll be out of sight. In a quick, in a flash, we'll do what God wants us to do. But I can tell you, it's not in, you know, us in our finance and us in our capacity and skill sets and, you know, us trying to do by logical effort. Amos 3:7, and a great verse, and it has been preached on for a long time, and it's a verse we use in circles where we want to see the prophetic release more and more. But it says, surely the Lord God will do nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. And you can cross-reference that with Revelation 10:7. Very interesting that John, the beloved John, you know, the one who God so loved, Jesus loved, wrote the book of Revelation. This word that's used for the word secret is the word soed or sowed. You can spell it C-O-W-D-H, but you pronounce it with an S. Joel set me straight on that this morning. If you haven't met Joel, he can speak Hebrew pretty good. And so, sod is the word that they translate here, secret. Surely the Lord God will do nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. But that word has another meaning. It's been translated secret there, but really, it's the word reclining. To recline. There is an extension of intimate friendship in this word. God is extending through Jesus Christ. Look, if it's from God, it's for all. God is not exclusive. If it's from God, all have it available to them. Salvation is for all. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is for all. The gifts are for all. The fruit is for all. God doesn't want us to think we're sectarian. Not just for the blonde-eyed blue people. It's not just for the dark-skinned people. Just not for the Brazilians. Just not for the short people. It's for all. It's from God. It's for all. And so Old Testament, all did not hear. That's the amazing thing about the day we live in. New Covenant and New Testament, all can hear God. In the Old Testament, only a few heard God. And so the invitation is to us through the blood of Christ is come into relationship. It's for you. You can hear God as accurately, as clearly as you position yourself, as you intentionally posture yourself. And so here we have, you know, Scripture is filled with Adam and Enoch and Noah who walked with God. Scripture says they walked with God. How much more we can walk with God through Jesus Christ? He's pointing the way to the Father. The Holy Spirit's been sent on earth. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God with us today. You know, I was talking yesterday to the Academy, the people that, you know, we've been journeying about the Prophetic Intensive Academy, and we're doing 9 a.m. to 2:30 every Thursday together. and we're going very deep, and God's doing the plowing and the cutting. And I was talking about, you know, there's an intimate relationship that doesn't necessarily come down. It comes into my life. It comes into my heart. And as he brings me into this intimate relationship, he wants me to recline and incline my ear to him as I recline upon his chest like John did. And isn't it funny that others ask the one who was reclining, what does he say? Here we have a picture of the prophet. Amos is, you know, given the word of God. He's given us this wonderful picture of a secret, intimate friendship with God. You know, he wants to show you hidden things. He wants to show you things. He really doesn't want us to be an army of three-year-olds in the spirit. He doesn't want us walking around at 2 years old where we still need nappies. There's a maturing process he's trying to bring us to. He's trying to, you know, afford to us through, again, the life of Christ that you can hear God in your relationship. But you got to position yourself to recline upon him. You have to wait. You have to wait. Everybody can hear God when you shower, on the toilet. Highly recommend it. When you drive, as you go to the store, we're supposed to. We were talking about, you know, we're supposed to live out of that place. But intentional waiting is sacrifice. What do you think living sacrifice looks like? It's those who intentionally wait and put their cell phone in the water and see if your case really is waterproof. Genesis 3:8, Genesis 5:22, Genesis 6:9. See, Adam, Enoch, and Noah, they walk with God. Abraham is called the friend of God. Moses, it says, knew God face to face. That's such a picture of relationship and friendship. Numbers 12, 6 and 8, Exodus 33, 11. In Numbers 11, it's very clear. God has always desired a whole nation of prophets. You read it. He wanted the whole nation to prophesy. Paul mimics the same words. I would desire all to prophesy. Because to prophesy, you need to wait and hear God. You need to have a developed relationship to truly have prophecy as part of your consistent life. There's so much logic being spoken today. It sounds good. Revelation upon revelation upon revelation that you can't find in Scripture anywhere. There are gold nuggets. There's weighty words of wisdom that only come from the one who created wisdom that waits for you and I. But I can tell you, just because we're a son or daughter does not mean he entrusts the secrets to you. It's not automatic. You know, a dumb dad gives the car keys to the four-year-old to drive. How many think that's wisdom? Right? And so we see, you know, we have these natural, stupid illustrations that speak a weighty revelation. To recline, to be at rest, to be in that place. It means a setting down. It means to be established. The number four, 444 is a number of establishment. The four winds, the four seasons, the four directions, the four corners of the earth. Four can be a number of the established, the foundational setting of God. God wants to release His glory. He wants there to be an amazing glory release that the world has never yet experienced. I was reminded talking to a friend of mine just before we started last Sunday. I was having a chat, and he said, you know, it's a really weird season we're in, but I'm so excited. Have you ever heard of Bob Jones' prophecy? I said, which one? He talked about the one in 1977 when the Lord visited Bob Jones, and the Lord said, I am removing my glory from, it's over, the charismatic movement's over. I'm not going to share my glory with man anymore. But I'm going to visit God again. I'm going to visit God again. I looked it up yesterday, and according to the website that I read, it was November 11th, interestingly, is when the Lord told him, November 11th, 1977, and the Lord said, in 40 years, I'll revisit with my glory. And we're seeing a stir of something. I don't know if you felt something. I hope you felt it. I felt like the Lord says, you know, everyone says, don't go by feelings. This is the Lord talking to me right there, just minutes ago. He said, everyone saying, don't go by feelings, but they've missed it. It's that the Lord wants us to live by faith with feelings. Just push the button on the side. It's my phone. Just order mine with pepperoni. Okay. I'm healthy. So, Ezekiel 44 is this idea of His glory, you know, being so manifest that the response is, what did He do? He did not do in the Lord's coming in glory. He reacted out of being. His response was to worship, to be in the presence of God. Not take the glory and just run off right away. He responds by falling on His face. John 13:23, we see this reclining position of John the Beloved. In Psalm 25:14, it says, the secret or the reclining of the Lord is for those who fear Him. The reclining, the waiting on the Lord, in the Lord, is for those who fear Him. And hopefully you're going, aha, because I've never seen a day where the lack of the fear of God is more prevalent. Know what that tells me? We're not waiting. We're going around doing. We're being God's little merry men, mother's little helper, trying to put our fingers in everything that God didn't call us to do or say or be. Real anointing comes and is stimulated in my life. Real hearing is activated by waiting intentionally in His presence. I've said this so many times in so many different circles, I can't remember the last time I said it. But in teaching about prayer, I talk about why don't we try to listen first and then talk? Waiting on Him, you know, getting a download, getting the inclination, inclining our hearts to His voice. It's paramount because it's our lifeline. It is what's going to save my soul from more duress. Permeate my soul. Do you know where your permeated soul happens in waiting on the Lord? As you yield your being to the presence of God, His Spirit speaks to you, and it permeates, it put holes, it softens your mind, will, and emotions. Most people, you know, are led in life by their soul. They are led, soul power is very strong, even in the church, because the church is people. And so they learn to react. What do you think about that? I think that. What do you want? Like that. What do you feel? That. What do you think about that? Boom. And so we react out of what we think, want, feel, desire. And if God doesn't permeate our soul, we're in jeopardy of being that crabby, old, ornery, cantankerous old person that's in a movie scene. Because what happens to the soul, we set in our ways like concrete the older we get. If we're not lending ourselves and waiting upon Him in intimacy for Him to permeate my soul with His character, with who He is, and allowing Him to knock off the rough edges out of me and change the way I talk and think instead of reacting, acting out of being led by the Spirit in scenarios. And so He wants us pliable. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall bend and not break. He wants us to be pliable and moldable. You know, He is the what? Potter, and we are the... Do you know you're not fully solidified yet? You know you're saved, but you're also working out your salvation. Well, I'm working out my salvation. Just hold on. I'm not the end product yet. God's allowed me to have sanctification. He's allowed me to walk out sanctification. That's why it's such a travesty in some of theology today that they teach you that you're just perfect now, that you're sinless now. You got to be kidding me. Walk around with me for a day. Take notes on His sanctifying process in my life. It's a lie. So He allows us to journey, but in this journey, we have to find a place of rest. We got to find this reclining position that John so aptly shows us in his reclining on the chest of his Savior, and others asking him because he's so close, what's he saying? You ask him. John, you're closest to him. He likes you the most. You're in the secret place. You're showing secret friendship there, afforded back in the book of Moses, we can see. Is it interesting that he wants to tell the prophets in this position of friendship, he wants to share his heart. You know, God wants to share his heart with you. You're made for fellowship with him and with people, but first with him. He wants to share with you. Here's an earth-shattering commercial. Here it is. Write it down. You don't need me to hear God for you. You can hear God for you. I might be used to confirm it, but hear God for you. Hallelujah. And he's given us. He said all can do that. We don't have a scenario where we have the prophets that have to tell and no one else can hear. Praise the Lord. That's not the scenario. But we have to have the prophets. We have to have fivefold ministry because Jesus put them in place. You read Ephesians 4, 11, and 12. It says the church is built upon apostle and prophet, and we need the fivefold to bring us into maturity, to train us. And guess what? It ain't going away because Jesus put it there. There are some things I'd love to take out of the Bible, like Matthew 24. Like the scriptures about the Antichrist, but I got news. It's coming. I'm going to talk about the nations being shaken perhaps later, but the nations are being shaken. He's shaking. He's shaking his people. He's shaking things. And he needs to shake us out of religion, lethargy, logic, reasoning, brain power, soul power, anger, bitterness. He needs to shake us out of the Roman church, the church that roams here and there and thinks they're an island and a shepherd unto themselves. Get over it, man. You ain't gonna make it. If I could heal myself and prophesy to myself and deliver myself, wouldn't that be a great day? It is not the kingdom in evidence. You need me, I need you. God help us. Remember the Lord telling me one day to go this lady for a prophetic word in America. I said, I don't like her. He said, exactly. I said, I don't think you can use her. Exactly. I went up to her and she said, the Lord told me you're coming. 1001, 1002, 1003, 1000. Where there's competition. And the thing is, you laugh because it's you too. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Why do you sit in the same seat every Sunday? Because you're used to your environment. Here's a challenge next Sunday. As a matter of fact, don't do it next Sunday. Just surprise us so we're sure what doesn't happen, you know. Go sit next to someone you don't like some Sunday. Go sit somewhere and let God use them. You read the book of Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 14. He was hot, burning, raging, angry at God. He was angry at God. Joshua was fearful. David says about the wilderness he was in, but didn't change them from waiting on God. You can be angry all you want. Wisdom says you better wait on God. You can be afraid, but you better wait on God. You can be in a wilderness that you put yourself in or God put you in, but you better wait on God. Relationship doesn't stop. Relationship's not based on if it's a good day or a bad day, if it's sunny or rainy. Relationship is relationship. And God's calling us as a nation to, no matter what, wait on Him, to recline in this secret, wonderful, intimate relationship He's afforded to us. It's our lifeline, everyone. It's the hope of our nation. People say, how is it going to happen? By waiting on Him. By understanding that in His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence is everything I need. In His presence is the word for the nation that I need to release. It's not my logic. It doesn't what I, you know, read the paper and then prophesy off of that. There's enough going on in that in America. People finding out that Trump is not the ultimate answer. We knew that going in. You know, man or woman is going to be the ultimate answer. Jesus is the ultimate answer for the nations. And God wants the church to lead the way in revealing His heart, revealing the love relationship that He extends to us. God came, you know, it's amazing scripture there in Genesis 18, verse 21. They're going to talk about Sodom. And God comes in the flap of the tent. Abraham's sitting there, remember? And God shows up. There's two with him, right? Everybody know the story. But God came to Abraham. Why? He was his friend. He needed to chat out some things. He needed to sort out some things. with a father that he was going to use for his children to outnumber the stars. There's some fathers and mothers in here. There's some ministries in here. There's some callings in here. There's some already done things that God's going to revisit. Ezekiel, you know, he's waiting on the Lord. And he has this experience, and the glory of God comes, and he says, hey, that's exactly like what happened at the River Chebar, the far-off place. Some of you have a recollection of something happened far off, 1975, 1982, 1993, Toronto Blessing, Charismatic Renewal, Jesus People, Healing Movement. And Ezekiel has this amazing experience. He says, hey, this is just like the glory I felt far off a long time ago in the River of Chebar. And the Lord says, wait on me for 7 days and nothing happened. Even in the midst of the glory and the visitation of God, Ezekiel had to still wait on God. And so we were conditioned. Can I say there's something beyond revival, and we haven't even seen revival yet. There's something beyond revival. In my younger days, I was a wild man and just crazy and Holy Ghost doing, seeing things that just, I'll keep to myself, just fun. People are just saying, you're just a wild guy, just a Holy Ghost man, and having invitations to be in the river and the gold dust thing and all that stuff, and saw all the feathers and the gold teeth and, you know, amazing, cool stuff. But I remember the Lord saying, there's something more than this, and it's Him. And it's Him. It's Him. There's something more than revival I'm going after now. I want revival. I want to see the nation rock turned upside down. I'd love to see our revival in Australia make what happened in Wales and Azusa pale in comparison, where our policemen have nothing to do but direct traffic to church services, where they wear white gloves to show the righteousness of the land, where there is no prisons in action because there's no prisoners and no hospitals because everyone's healed. And that happened already on the earth in Wales. So don't tell me it can't happen here. Perhaps it's a far-off thought. Perhaps it's a far-off glory movement that happened, but God's intentionally inviting us to recline in the secret place with Him. I've been in revival. I've been where I'm so tired, I don't even know what day it is. I have no idea who's who. I can't remember people I know and have known me my whole life's name. Staying up 48 hours straight just because of the presence of God and facilitating people. You know, we had to have carriers in the parking lot to get the people carried from the car because they got dropped in the Holy Ghost and bring them into the service. I've been there. Where we had prophetic ministry in parking lot because people couldn't get in. They just had to prophesy to them laying on the ground, bringing umbrellas so they wouldn't get wet because they're knocked out for 2 hours. Like, I'm talking some stuff. May it happen again, but there's more. There's more. There's an invitation to recline, to wait on Him. And even in the midst of revival, you have to wait on Him. Revival's addicting. His presence is addicting. You don't want to miss that worship service. You don't want to miss the all-night worship service. Wednesday night was off the charts, man. We had the Flame Tree team. We had the team from Toowoomba. We had the team from Tauranga, New Zealand. We had the team from Sunshine Coast, YWAM base. There's just worship going on. And I thought, this reminds me of a far-off place where we just had to have teams just coming. And back then in America, we didn't have noise ordinances. So you go all night and the neighbors complain. Who cares? Because the cops were there. My town judge was there. The sheriff was there. The inspector was there. They're all there. Worshiping God. But there's more. And there's a, even in the midst of the heightened glory of God, Ezekiel removes, by the Spirit of God, he takes him and says, here, man, you got 7 days of no pop, snap, and crackle. You know, you got 7 days of no fireworks. Yet there was just fireworks. Have you ever been there where there's just fireworks and all of a sudden God says, come and wait, and you don't understand. You think you've done something wrong. You think the enemy's gotten there and cut off and because you don't know who God really is yet. And he calls you into that place and says, you got to come away from the exciting glory because it's still about waiting. It's still about our intimate secret relationship. And then I'll let you go back and I'll fill your mouth. And we don't understand that this is really the well from which we minister out of. We're so used to having, you know, a Snickers or a granola bar on the run. That there's a real dinner with real food waiting. And you got to take your time in a sit-down dinner, everybody. No sense rushing. We just put out the best plates. We just put out the best silver. Just put out the best napkins. We just sat down. We just put the candle on. No sense rushing through Macker's window attitude with that. That's to be enjoyed. That's to be savored and chewed upon. Meditate upon my word day and night. You don't rush at a chewing down a Snickers bar, running to a next meeting. And that's the invitation for us as a nation. Come, sit down. Yeah, but dude, you don't understand. I got enemies. I got a lot of haters. I got to just pray. I got to pray in spirit. I got to just lose my mind in the word and quote and declare and decree. And I got to stand up on a chair and I got to face the north and the south. And I got to wave a flag. And I got to put on worship. I got to put on Rick Pino. And I got to listen to Josh Young. And I got to get Solomon's tapes in my ears. And I got to get Joel Baker and him help me with the Feast of Tabernacles with a Hebrew thing. And I got to just do all this stuff. And God's saying, hey, dude, come and eat. Sit down. Didn't you know I prepared a place, a table in the presence of your enemies? See, I'm good at doing. I can do with the best of them. I can go here, do this. Multi-talented, multitasking. I remember my spiritual dad sitting me down when I was 18 saying, you got a dilemma. You're so talented and anointed, you're going to have a choice. I said, what's your choice? Ministry to people? Or ministry to the Lord first. It's taken all this time to finally get here. To share out of experience, not some book. You know, the pressure of being called to a nation. Solomon, I know, understands that. Joel, I know, understands that. Some of you understand that. The sacrifice, the price, the pressure to have to perform, to do, to give, because you've been called there. You've been sent there. God's entrusted you. God's called. To recognize the divine appointments, the divine connections, to align yourself with mission through the blood, sweat, and tears of sacrifice and lack, and exercising faith through lack of funds, through sickness, through the haters, through the competition, the jealousy, the spitefulness. And understand that you've been called to wait in the secret place with him, no matter where he's called you to geographically. to understand it's not about the next song. It's not about the next preaching. It's not about the next prophecy. It's not about the next word of knowledge. It's not about the next act of faith. It's not about the next point of contact to get you into the nation or to the church or to pray over your neighbor. The next step is to wait on God and let Him direct, to let Him open up from that place of intimate relationship, to ebb and flow, to not be driven, but to be led. I love how God uses John. I'll hopefully speak a bit about it next, who knows when. How God uses Ezekiel, a man who's just this, you know, wild drama king who has to act out all this stuff and prophetic action. And in Ezekiel 1, he shows Ezekiel the exact scenario, but in a different way to John in Revelation 4. They get to see the throne and God upon the throne. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? They see a different scenario, even though there's similarities. There's 10 similarities. But the differences are amazing to me. And I believe the differences are because Ezekiel was under a dispensation when God only spoke to a few, and John was under a dispensation that he spoke to all. That John saw this detail of God that Ezekiel didn't see because he reclined. He had intimate relationship with God, that God got to share these secrets and then he got to pass them on to us. Everybody in this room wants to impact the nation. Everybody in this room wants to give the word that unlocks the prisoner, sets the prisoner free, sees the lame to walk, blind eyes open. Everybody in this room wants to preach the message of Jesus and maybe use words, if you know what I mean. Everybody in this room wants to live a lifestyle to show evidence that they truly are lovers of Christ, that these signs and wonders shall follow them that believe. Everyone in this room wants that lifestyle. Everybody wants to pursue that. My encouragement to myself and you are permitted to listen, what I'm telling myself is, it starts and finishes with reclining in Christ. And I thank you, Papa, that you lead us and guide us into all truth, into all of Jesus, into the person of Jesus Christ, the glorified one. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are God, that you move with us and through us and upon us, and that you're always pointing the way to the Son and the Father. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you just refresh us, that we can just rest in being in you and with you. That, Lord, we don't even have to say anything, that we just have to receive. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's a good start, I think. So we're going to break for lunch. You can go off campus or we can have a time here. 1:30, we'll need to, again, clear that cafe area. We're going to come back at 2 and see what God has for us. How many enjoyed that session? Praise the Lord, stirred up. It's a good foundation to spring off of. Encourage one another. Ask someone to have a couple with you. You know, rub elbows with different people. Glean from them. We feel like sometimes the best things said are from those that aren't planned in our life. And so just be open to what God would encourage you. God bless you real good. We'll see you 2:00 sharp back here.